I want to talk about a SWAT team today, okay? And not because we're going to have an armed guard here or anything like that. A SWAT team is a special weapons and tactics team. And I want to use those initials, S-W-A-T, to be a reminder for what I'm going to say today. So S-W-A-T, we're going to use those letters. Hopefully, I will impress the message on you one way or the other. So stop, S, worship God, in awesome wonder, thank the Lord. Stop. Worship God, and in awesome wonder, thank the Lord. Please remember this, all right? You can do it with me. Stop. Worship God, and in awesome wonder, thank the Lord. You've got the sermon already. The rest is just icing. The text this week, Jesus has left Galilee for the last time. He's not going to be returning back to his home base in his earthly ministry again. He had begun his journey to Jerusalem. He'd begun the steps to his death. He had already made two of his predictions of his death to his disciples, and they were upset. They were confused and distressed, and I think they were thinking, perhaps it's not too late. It's not too late to head back to Galilee. Why do we have to go to Jerusalem at all? And now they have come this far. They have come to this no man's land between Galilee and Samaria, and they come to an unnamed village when they begin to hear shouting and a ragtag group of people approaching them. As Jesus was making his way to Jerusalem, he went along the border between Samaria and Galilee. He was going to a village when he was met by 10 men suffering from a dreaded skin disease. They stood at a distance and shouted, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Jesus saw them and said to them, "Go and let the priests examine you." On the way, they were made clean. When one of them saw that, he was healed. He stopped and came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself to the ground at Jesus' feet and thanked him. The man was a Samaritan. Jesus spoke, "There were 10 who were healed. Where are the other 9? Why is this foreigner the only one who has come back to give thanks to God?" Jesus said to him, "Get up and go. Your faith has made you well." May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. This is a well-known story. Most of us have heard this story for the better parts of our lives. And we heard it in Sunday school. And it seems to me like usually the point then was, now children, you don't want to be like those 9 lepers that didn't thank Jesus for healing them. Do you? I don't know. It's just the way I remember the lesson. Now, I believe it's important to be polite, and especially be polite around Jesus. But I don't think it's the most important thing right in this story. This story is really more for adults and kids so that we've excused them. Because these 10 men were desperate. They were internally displaced people. They were driven away from their families and communities. The only people that they could have contact with were the people that were suffering from the same disease as they had. They were tragic victims of a disease over which they had no control. They had no means to support themselves except to beg, and even then they had the restriction of having to stay a distance away and crying, "Unclean, unclean." Only more accentuating that differentness, that separateness from others. They were even forbidden from worshiping because of their contagious condition. Leprosy was then and continues to be in the world today a cruel sentence. The 10 cried out, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." But I wonder if any of them really expected what happened next. Some of them had probably been living with the disease long enough to have given up hope, and they were thinking that
a few coins, maybe from the master, from this out-of-towner, would be all that they could expect. Listen to what Jesus says to them. Go and let the priest examine you. By these words, Jesus is already telling them, you're healed. Because there's no other reason for you to go to the priest. In order to be considered clean in the community, they have to go to the priest. The priest has to examine them and then give them a certificate saying that they are no longer contagious. They needed that confirmation of the priest. Now, 10 of them were obedient, and they started walking to Jerusalem because that's where the priests were. But as they did, they could see and they could feel within themselves that they were healed. This is what they had hoped for, though none of them. It was hoping against hope, expected to be healed. Once they would present themselves to the priest, they could get on with their lives. They would get their lives back. There's only one defector, only one who is disobedient to Jesus' command. All of them continue on except one. He stops. He returns to Jesus and does something that only a few moments before he would not have been allowed to do. He walks right up to Jesus. He does not keep his distance. He stops, worships God, throws himself at Jesus' feet, and thanks him. This was a Samaritan. This was the outcast of the outcasts. Did he even know for sure if a Jewish priest would bother to declare a Samaritan clean? The man's response is an amazing model of gratitude. His life was given back to him, and he was fully aware in that moment. He experienced God's healing, God's power, and he was overwhelmed by a sense of gratitude. Indeed, his faith had saved him. Stop, worship God, and in awesome wonder, thank the Lord. The Samaritan stopped. When you and I understand that something holy has happened, when we are in the presence of the holy, we need to stop. Because it is too easy to be distracted, to keep going. Moses stopped when he saw that burning bush on the side of the mountain. He took time and took off his shoes, and in so doing, he experienced the presence of God. Elizabeth Barron Browning said, "Earth is crammed with heaven, and every common bush afire with God. But only those who see take off their shoes. The rest sit round it and pluck blackberries." The Samaritan stopped when he realized what had happened to him. I'm afraid that a lot of us, most of the time, live our lives in a distracted way, and we are busily unaware we are content to pluck blackberries. There's always something more we should be doing. It keeps us from fully living in the present. And I know that in my yard, there are leaves that should have been raked already. There's windows that should have been tightened and winterized for the cold weather that's coming. There will always be something more to do. But from time to time, I need to stop from my busyness at home. I need to stop from my busyness at church and simply savor the goodness of God in my life. There are so many things for which I need to be thankful and need to stop and do that. I need to stop from my busyness and simply savor the present moment. God is only truly present in the present. And that's why God told Moses, "I am who I am." He didn't say, "I am who I used to be," or "I am who I will be in the future." "I am who I am." It is in the present that God meets us, and it's the possibility of feeling grateful that presents itself almost every moment of our lives, if we think about it. It is an experience of gratitude in the present moment in which the spiritual dimensions of our lives are open to God. Stop, worship God, and in awesome wonder, thank the Lord. Worship God. The Samaritan praised God in the same loud voice that he'd used to cry out for money for so many days, weeks, and months before. He praised God, the source of his healing. When we stop and we're aware of holiness or healing in our lives, that praise needs to rise up in our throats. Our response needs to be to worship God. The first Sundays of the month, we sing, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." The place should just shake when we sing that, because this is the truth. My parents own a cabin in a lovely lake in northern Minnesota, and we were on vacation once there when we brought a friend of my daughter's along, Katrina. Katrina was a city girl. She didn't get out much, and she just enjoyed being there by the water with the trees. It was fun to have her there. One evening after dinner, we heard her shouting, "Jesus is coming! Jesus is coming!" Well, now, Katrina wasn't really a religious sort of person, so I was wondering what this was about. I better find out if Jesus was coming. So we went down to the dock, and she was standing there. She was looking out at the sunset over the lake, and there were some slanting rays, some shafts of sunlight that were coming through the red and the orange clouds. It looked like the cover of a devotional book, if I had ever seen one. In her own way, she was responding to that source of beauty around her. She worshiped God. Stop. Worship God. And in awesome wonder, thank the Lord. The Samaritan threw himself at the feet of Jesus in humility. He had been given something. He would never be able to repay Jesus for what he had been given in that moment. He was humble, and he was in awe of Jesus. Katrina was in awe of that sunset by the lake that night. She was humbled by the beauty and struck by the hugeness of creation and the smallness of her humanity. Our family standing alongside her was caught up in that awe as she experienced and opened to us that day. Gratitude lifts us up. At the same time, it drives us to our knees when we realize who we are and where we are in the presence of God. We realize how little we are when we experience that overflowing gratitude. Gratitude does not depend on courage or strength or talent. It arises from our humble incompleteness, the old gospel song reminds us. It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. We're not only standing in the need of prayer, we are standing in the need of healing. We are standing in the need of wholeness. So many of our moments of our lives, we are standing in the need of God. Our response is humility in the face of God's amazing grace. O Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Awesome wonder. There's an awesome wonder that overtakes visitors when they go to the Grand Canyon on the South Rim. The canyon, you're driving through some rather scruffy looking landscape for a long time. Then all of a sudden you come to the edge and you see this amazing sight and you can't take it all in. You can look and look and look all day and not take it in. And the amazing thing about the canyon is that it doesn't do anything. It just sits there. But it is amazing to us, that grandeur. And no one feels big when they're standing in front of the Grand Canyon. That is the experience of the presence of God. The healing of our mind, the occasion of the healing of our spirit, our souls. This is the time we need to stop and wonder, worship. There's an awesome, humbling wonder that can grab a hold of us in the face of a beautiful sunset or the Grand Canyon, but it's not limited to that. We can be grabbed a hold of by God in the presence of a helpless newborn. Every time we dedicate a child up in front, it's a holy moment. We know it. We know it because there is a preciousness to life that when we stop and wonder, when we stop and just become aware that indeed God is present, then something happens. Courage and faithfulness, when we witness this, are also sources of awesome wonder. A year and a half ago when I was in Thailand, I was in awe of the people that I met there. Those Karen leaders that are on the border, in the camps, struggling every day. There are faithful doctors that continue to serve. Dr. Cynthia serves 104,000 patients every year at her clinic in Massant. They are tireless relief workers. Just being around them, I was tired. I was humbled. I was physically, spiritually, mentally, and emotionally overwhelmed. The end of the day, before I fell asleep, and it didn't take long to fall asleep because I was exhausted, I would thank God for what I witnessed that day. Thank God for the privilege of being alongside those people. All I could do was stop and worship God and in awesome wonder thank the Lord. Gratitude can change forever how we experience the life in the world. Gratitude makes sense of our past, brings peace for today, and creates a vision for tomorrow. William Blake said it this way, "Gratefulness is heaven itself." Gratefulness is heaven itself. Stop. Worship God. And in awesome wonder, thank the Lord. We would be open to you in this time, O Lord. May nothing separate us. May no veil remain between us and that sense of your abiding presence. For the ways that you have healed us, for the experiences through which you have brought us, we are grateful. We offer ourselves before you in humble adoration and praise. Amen. Amazing grace. How can we not sing that at this closing hymn? Amazing grace.